Amen. Certainly appreciate the blessing of assembling here on this first launch day of 2013. It is indeed an expression of God's grace that He has allowed us to be here on this morning. You're not here because you deserve to be here. I am not here because I deserve to be here. I am here and you are here and we are here because of the goodness and the grace of God. And I, for one, am thankful that God has extended His grace to each of us. At the beginning of a new year, we recognize that we don't know exactly what the new year holds, but we do know Him who is sovereignly in control of everything. We don't know what the new year holds, but we do know who holds and sustains us as the people of God. And because of our relationship with God, we can sing that song, "Any way that you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied." If I really knew how to sing that song, I'd want to sing it this morning. My brother Larry does a very fine job singing, "Any way you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied." In 2009, after my surgery, while I was still a patient at the University Medical Center in Lebanon, where I had my surgery and was hospitalized there from Monday to Sunday. On that Saturday, my brother Larry and his wife Carrie, they sang that song. And it was certainly uplifting, comforting, and encouraging. And even now as I reflect back on that Saturday and on that singing of that song, you know, it just touches me in a very special way. That's a good way to live every day of 2013. Submitting ourselves under the sovereign oversight and the divine care of God, and say to Him, not only in word, but also in deed, by the way we live, "Any way you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied." Turn in your Bibles, please, to the scripture lesson that was read from the book of Ephesians, a very familiar passage, a passage that deals with an element that is difficult to define. It's an element that we understand what it is, but when you ask us to define it, we're usually at a loss of words. And I'm speaking of that entity that we call time. And we're going to talk to you for a few moments on redeeming the time. Paul says in verse 15 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. When it comes to time and utilizing time, it has been stated that if space is the dimension in which things exist, that time is the dimension in which things happen. Time is rightly regarded as being of almost incalculable value. Counting time is not nearly so important as making time count. Just 60 minutes. I have rather only just a minute, just 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. When you think about time and you think about eternity, ask yourself, and we break down time, they've even broken down time not only in seconds, but in hundredths of a second, and in thousandths of a second, and even a millionth of a second, and a billionth of a second, and even a trillionth of a second. The thing is, if you could take 1 second and cut it in half or break it down, and then each of those parts break it down, you could do that ad infinitum, because that's the very nature of time. And all of us has enough time. As a matter of fact, the rich and the poor have 24 hours in a day. The rich and the poor have 168 hours in a week. The rich and the poor have the same amount of time. Each of us has 1,440 minutes every day. Could they be spent in a better way? I'm told that if we live 75 years, the following is how we would normally spend our time. 23 years would be spent sleeping. That's 31% of your life. 19 years would be spent working. That's 25% of your life. 9 years would be spent watching TV or other amusements. That's 12% of your time. 7.5 years would be consumed in dressing and personal care. That's 10% of your time. 6 years would be spent eating. That's 8% of your time. 6 years would be spent traveling. That's also 8% of your time. 1.5 year would be spent worshiping and praying. That's 0.7% of your time. Just a little over 0.5% of your time on the average would be spent in worshiping God and praying to him if you live to be 75 years old. That is sobering food for thought. That is something that we should take under serious consideration. Let's look at the concept that is articulated in Ephesians 5, verses 5 through 17. And we want to notably focus our attention on verse number 16. Ephesians 5 and verse number 16. Notice what the Apostle Paul tells us. He says that we should be in the process of redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now in verse 15, he talks about how we should walk, how we should live our lives. And he emphasizes that we can walk as fools, but we can also walk as wise ones. In selecting or choosing to walk as the wise, that would involve redeeming the time, insofar as making the very best possible use of our time. Paul is saying, walk carefully and strictly by redeeming the time. The idea is not to buy time, because time in that sense is not for sale. Time is the gift of God. A man has time. What he is to do is to use his time in exchange for things of value. He is to redeem time, to turn his time in for things of value. This means two things. First of all, a person is to use his time wisely. He is not to waste his time. Time is a gift of God. A man does not have to redeem or purchase time or buy time. He already has time. You have time, and I have time. We have time. When he is born into the world, he is born into time. Time exists. It is here with us or without us. We do not have to do a single thing to redeem it insofar as purchase a particular quantity of it. What we have to do is to use it wisely. Use it to do the best we can for God. Make the very best possible use of your time. Day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out. The choice is ours. We can sit and twiddle away hours and engage in activity and conversation that is of little or no value or worth. Or we can use time wisely, keeping our thoughts and keeping our hands busy in doing those things that will glorify God and that would serve humanity. In our professional work, we can keep busy, contributing to the good of society. In our worship and service for Christ, we can join with others of lack precious faith. Others who are part of God's family, ministering to the lost and needful of our communities and cities. We can keep our hands busy in meeting the needs of a world reeling under the weight of desperate masses gripped in suffering. We can keep our hands busy in working for God, following the example of Jesus. You know, Jesus said, I must do the work of him that sent me while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work. We can use our time wisely by taking advantage of the opportunities that arise throughout the day. This too is what redeeming the time means. The believer is to redeem the opportunities to live righteously and godly in this present world, to witness and share Christ with those who are lost, to be diligent on his or her job, to set an example of commitment and discipline with work, at home, and at play. We can use our time wisely in being faithful to God and our families. We can use our time wisely to speak up for Christ and righteousness. We can use our time wisely to pray instead of allowing time to be wasted. For what we should pray for every day, if we would use our time wisely, we can look at a number of scriptures that would indicate those things for which we should pray. Matthew 6, 19 through 13, Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, and there are other passages that will indicate what kinds of things we should pray for. We should spend a meaningful measure of our time in prayer to God. As a matter of fact, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5 and verse 17, pray without ceasing. We can devote more time, and I pray that we will devote more time in 2013 to praying than we did in 2012. Now the question is, Paul says we should redeem our time, or we should make the very best possible use of our time. Note why we are to redeem the time. He says simply because the days are evil. This refers to all the evil that confronts the believer as he walks day by day. So much evil that he must stay alert to keep from falling and failing. He must be alert to live righteously and to bear testimony to Christ. The evil can range from mild temptation over to severe persecution, from small money problems to a world economic collapse, from a minor family squabble to a war. The evil of the world is ever before us, small and great. The task of the believer is to make the very best possible use of his time in the midst of an evil world. The opportunity will soon pass because the days are evil. The opportunity for telling others about Christ will soon pass. The opportunity to show diligence will soon pass. the opportunity to speak up and share the gospel will soon pass. The opportunity to love your family, to love your spouse and your children will soon pass. The opportunity to minister will soon pass. The opportunity to pray will soon pass. The opportunity to give will soon pass. Question, how many of us waste our time? So much time is wasted by individuals, including us, in a variety of ways. Many waste their time by not really being efficient. Many waste their time by watching television. You know, so many of us are just in the habit of watching television, and we watch almost without planning and without purpose. You just turn the TV on and you begin to surf the channels. And you don't have anything special or in particular in mind. You just go through the channels and you click the remote control, and finally you find a program that seems to be kind of interesting, so I'll watch that. And you might watch that for an hour, and then you say, well, I'm tired of that. I'll switch over to something else, and I'll watch that. And you might say, this is real interesting. And you could spend on that particular channel 3 or 4 hours that you had not really planned to spend, that you had not purposefully thought about, but you just wanted something to watch, something that would capture your attention and hold your interest for a protracted period of time. Now, back when I was coming along in Marigold, Mississippi, we didn't have but one station that we could watch. We didn't have cable. We didn't have the dish. We had one of those tall 50-foot antennas. And usually we could reach just one station. And it was mainly an ABC station, although we got some CBS programs. But you didn't have all of the multitude of hundreds of channels. So really a person could spend their whole lives, if they didn't have to go to work, they could spend their whole life just watching TV, and you still would not have enough time to watch everything. So the thing is, in order to save time and in order to utilize our time wisely, it is necessary for us to be highly selective in what we watch on television. Plan out your television viewing like you would planning out your menu for what you're going to eat. Dr. Batzel Barrett Baxter, in one of our classes at Lipscomb University back in the early 70s, he was saying to young men who planned to preach, he said, purchase books very carefully and read a carefully selected number of books. He says you can't buy all of the books. You can't read all of the books. So you have to be very selective in which books you buy and in what books you read. Because you have to be selective. You have to plan so as to make the very best possible use of your time. And that's the way it is with life. There are only so many activities in which you can engage. There are only so many things that you can do. You can't do everything. You can't read every book. You can't be involved in everything. You have to be selective. Determine those things that are most significant in advancing you forward insofar as your family is concerned, insofar as your career is concerned, and insofar as your spirituality is concerned, and that should take precedence, preeminence, and priority above everything else. You know, there are a lot of secular activities in which we are engaged that are really not helpful insofar as moving us forward, insofar as helping us to reach meaningful goals and objectives are concerned. There are so many activities, even seemingly innocent or innocuous activities in which we are engaged. They are not evil, they are not wicked, they are not wrong per se, but they are useless. They are impotent insofar as moving us forward and promoting our best good and securing our general welfare and in helping us to make it ultimately to heaven. If we were to do an evaluation or an inventory, how do I spend my time? It would be eye-opening and for some shocking to make the determination. If you decided when you get up in the morning that you're going to list everything that you do on tomorrow, from the time you get up until the time you say your prayers at night and get in bed, ask yourself and be consciously aware of how did I spend my time today? How much time did I spend reading the Word of God? How much time did I spend praying? How much time did I spend watching television? How much time did I spend just talking on the phone? How much time did I spend texting? How much time did I spend surfing the web on my personal computer or on my iPad or on my iPhone? How much time do I spend talking to friends? How much time do I spend communicating with my children? How much time do I spend communicating with my spouse? How much time do I spend communicating with brothers and sisters? How much time do I spend shopping? How much time do I spend in transit, in traveling from home to work, or home to Kroger, or home to Walmart? If we had asked ourselves these kinds of questions, how much time am I spending reading the Bible? How much time did I spend preparing for Bible study, for my Sunday morning lesson, for my Wednesday night lesson? In daily personal devotion, how much time am I spending? How much time am I spending sleeping? How much time am I spending just kind of gazing out into the emptiness of space? Each of us needs to take a moment and think through where we waste so much time and correct it. More than ever, we need to give ourselves to making a significant contribution to our work and society, to our church, our congregation and community, to living righteously and godly, to sharing Christ with a world of lost, lonely, losers, the lowly, the left out, the hungry, cold, hurting and suffering, the needy and helpless, all lost in sin, all without the knowledge of Christ and of eternal life. The call of the hour is to redeem the time, to make the very best possible use of time. Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Psalm 90 in verse number 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. When thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Redeeming the time, making the very best possible use of your time and of my time, living in such a way as to please the God of heaven. The only way we can really make the very best possible use of our time and to live and utilize time as wise people rather than as foolish people is to clearly understand what the will of the Lord is. And that word understand means to grasp, perceive, see with the mind, and comprehend. As stated in verse 16, the days are evil, full of all sorts of evil. The believer must understand what God's will is in order to conquer the evil, in order to make the very best possible use of his time. If he does not, then he is living as a fool and acting unwisely. How can a person know what the will of the Lord is? By knowing the Word of God. By knowing it so well that he can apply it to the situations that confront him every day. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him in John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus prayed to his Father in John 17:17, saying, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Psalm 40 and verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalm 40 and verse number 8. Psalm 119 and verse 9. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And then finally, Psalm 119 and verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as redeeming the times, because the days are evil. Be not unwise, but be wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. There is no substitute for understanding the will of the Lord. When there is a deficit of Bible knowledge, there's a deficit of spiritual understanding. When there's a deficit of spiritual understanding, it is very difficult to make the very best possible use of your time. When you understand what the will want to be able to properly make the very best possible use of your time. How will you be making the very best possible use of your time in 2013? We have begun this new year, each of us who is here. We might not all conclude this new year, 2013. That should be very sobering. You know, we can make grandiose plans, and like the man that James rebukes in James chapter 4, he says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year, and we'll buy and sell, and we'll get gain. We're going to have a prosperous year. Whereas, he says, you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and vanisheth away. I wish I could tell you with great definitiveness, I will be here by December 31st. And I will be here the same time next year in 2014. I wish you could say the same. But none of us can make that claim. You know, there were a lot of folks, young and old, who were here this time last year, but who are not here this time this year. And there are some folks that are here now on the 6th of January, 2013, who will not be here on the 6th of January, 2014. I don't know who they are. You can say, well, Brother Jones, I'm young. I just got started out on the road of life. So surely you can expect me to be here. That was an old man, 106 years old. I believe it was Dan Rather who interviewed him on his birthday. The old man was in good shape. And he said, after Rather asked him a question as they were concluding the interview, he said to the old man, he said, sir, I hope I'm here to interview you next year on your birthday. And the old 106-year-old man looked at him and he said, well, son, you look pretty good. I don't see why you won't be here. What the old man was saying is, I'm going to be here. I don't know whether he was there or not. But the young fellow was looking at the age of the old fellow. But the old fellow recognized that there's just as great a possibility of the young fellow not being around a year later as there was for him not being around a year later. And I'm not trying to be maudlin or conjure up images of sadness or negativity. This is just reality. You know, my heart bleeds when I think about those 20 young people, just little folk up in Connecticut. A madman snuffed out their lives just because he could. Those precious little dears. And I think about all of the young people, the teenagers, who were killed this past year, not only in Tennessee, but across the country, in automobile accidents. And a lot of them were killed simply because they did not have their seatbelts fastened. And a lot of them were killed while in the process of talking on their cell phones. And some of them were in the process of texting. And some people feel like, wait a moment. Won't happen to me. I'm so good at this. I can text and drive without any problem. Or I can talk to my friends and drive without any problems. All it takes is a split second, and your life could be over. There was a young girl who was talking on her phone, and she looked down And when she looked up, she was moving out into an intersection, and she saw a big truck coming. And all she could say in a split second was, "I'm gonna die." And she did. That's the last thing that was heard on the other end of her phone. She said, "I'm gonna die." And she was killed instantly. And I'm mentioning these things because it emphasizes how valuable life is, how fragile life is, how uncertain life is. We all need to make the very best possible use of our time. Because how we utilize our time now in this world will determine where we will spend our eternity in the next world. If you are here and you're not a Christian, why not become one? If you're here and you are not a faithful Christian, you're a Christian, but you hadn't been faithful, why not become faithful today? Why not rededicate your life to the Lord today through repentance, confession, and prayer? And resolve you're going to start off the new year with new plans, new goals, new commitments, new determinations to live for the Lord in 2013. Jesus loved you enough that he died for you on the old rugged cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He arose triumphantly from the grave on the third day. Did all of that for you, did it for me. Let's take full advantage of the sacrifice he made on Calvary in our interest, on our behalf. Mm-hmm. Believe that good news of the gospel. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ as God's Son. And be baptized for the remission of your sins. And you can begin a brand new life. Brother Clifford, if you don't mind, sir. I am resolved, I believe it's 6:42, if my memory serves me properly. You know, I didn't talk about resolutions, but a lot of times during this time of the year, we make some resolutions on our bulletin board in the lobby. You see, I am resolved to be a more serious student. I'm resolved to be a better parent. I'm resolved to be a devoted mate. I am resolved. And there are a number of other things can be resolved. Why not be resolved to get a fresh start in 2013 and to live a more devoted life for the Lord this year? Will you do that? Will you make that known as we together stand and as we sing?
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Think that a higher thing, that a nobler these have allured my sight. To go tomb the Savior, leaving my sins and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he has the word of life. And free Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true. And free.